Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Soul Focused Radio. This is your host, Martin Friedman, and I am going solo today, solo in all ways. It's been a while since we have recorded, and I wanted to just check in with you all. We're going to have our new co-host, Kristen and Martina, who has been out of the country, is back in the country, and we're going to start recording together. We are going to have a special series on neuroscience coming up, so we are going to get back in the swing, but we just wanted to check back in. And so as the host that's been most consistent, I wanted to just do a quick check-in and let you all know what's going on. And it involves taking care of my mom, and it's been a healing journey. And with that, I'm going to tell you the story of the spiritual and emotional healing journey that I've been going on with my mom.
So have you ever heard of a term called groundwater? Groundwater is another word we use at the Soul Focus Group that means subconscious programming. From the ages of 0 to 7, we are subconsciously programmed. So much information and choices and decisions are downloaded into our subconscious mind, and we begin to start living that life, and even though that life we're living is not the life we chose for ourselves, and it's not until we understand the impact of the groundwater, what the groundwater really is, that we begin to wake up to our own lives and begin to choose what we want for ourselves. At the Soul Focus Group, we bring you to that consciousness so that you can begin to choose the life you want to live for yourself.
So my mom and I have not gotten along well most of my adult life, really since I was a teenager, early teens. I guess what they say, tweens now, preteen back in my day. But we really did not get along for much of my life. Looking back on it, my father, who was kind of the nice guy, but he was also sort of emotionally unavailable. And so my mother really had to take on that sort of intense parenting role a lot of the time. And, you know, I was very angry and resistant to authority. So her and I got into a lot of conflict, as I said, especially when I was younger, when I was a teenager, but even into my adulthood. And, you know, I really kind of dreaded going home. And for many decades, I would not classify my relationship with my mother as being a good relationship. About 8 years ago or now, maybe 10 years ago, my mother was out visiting me. And, you know, I had just gone through a whole process around forgiveness, like forgiveness practice, where I forgave myself for things I did to other people. I forgave myself for things I did to myself. And I forgave other people for what they did to me. And I told my mom that my feelings towards her were starting to change because I had gone through this forgiveness process. And the other thing I told her is I said, one of the things that was really helpful for me in my forgiveness was to understand generational trauma. So I knew what she had gone through. I knew what her parents had gone through. I could only imagine what her parents' parents had gone through. And so I spent time and energy thinking about that, thinking about the generational trauma. And it was part of my forgiveness practice to really think about, like, you know, they did the best they could with what they had. I know that's kind of a cliche, but it was really helpful for me. I remember a few months later, my mom and I were talking, and she said to me that she had thought a lot about what I said and really appreciated the forgiveness I extended towards her and my dad and other people in my family. But she thought about it, and she said, I can't forgive my father, though, because her father was pretty brutal with her in many ways. And she said, I just don't think I can do it. I've thought about it and actually decided I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to forgive him. He'd obviously passed on, but the point of the forgiveness meditation isn't that you have to tell somebody that you forgive them, but it's to practice forgiveness. And it's really for you and not for them. And, you know, I accepted what my mom said at the time, but that was really the first step in her and my relationship getting better. A few years later, I did a one-day training in Cleveland when I was still with People's Institute. And it was really an incredible experience because the first day was a food justice tour, and I reconnected with an old friend who I've become very close with and now do work with. And then on the second day, we did a one-day training, and my mom came, and she had to have been around 80, early 80s, maybe 83, 84. And she really loved it. And I remember, like, we did small groups, and I watched, you know, I went to the small group and I saw that my mom was really engaged and people were really engaging with her. And I just was, I stayed at her house. Actually, I got an adjoining hotel room. Her and I had adjoining hotel rooms. And then I spent the night at the house right before I was leaving, and I was leaving, you know, pretty early the next morning. And I used to joke about this, but it was pretty true. I had like a 48-hour rule that for many, many years, decades, really, I learned that the shorter amount of time I spent at home, the happier I was when I left, and the less likely I was to get into conflict. So I had my 48-hour rule, and I would leave within 48 hours whenever I could. And so this time wasn't too much different, you know. So I was leaving early the next day, and my mom, you know, came down to say goodbye to me. And she looked at me, and my mom's not a very, like, emotional person, you know. We hug and stuff, but it's not like a ton of intimacy. It's never really been like that. And my mom just looked at me, and she just said, you know, for the first time in your life, I really feel like I understand you. You know, she was able to see me in ways she had never seen me before, when she kind of saw me in my element, which at the time was doing anti-racist trainings, which is, you know, for me, I was able to express myself in ways that she had probably never seen. So for her to say, you know, I'm seeing you really for the first time, like, I really kind of understand who you were. So that was part of that evolution of the spiritual and emotional healing that took place. And the reason why I say it's spiritual healing and not just emotional is because, you know, my spiritual journey has been to return to my authentic self. And I believe that she was able to start seeing me authentically past, you know, the Martin or the Marty who was always, you know, so sensitive and angry and in conflict with her. She was able to see me past that. And I was able to start through the forgiveness process to see her true and authentic self. That was the spiritual healing part. And I really believe that from that spiritual healing, emotional healing started to happen too. When I moved from Seattle back east, my plan was to live in New York. And I stopped in Cleveland for what I thought was going to be 3 or 4 months. I asked my mom, can I stay there for 3 or 4 months while I find a job in New York City? And she said yes. It ended up being 9 months. And during that 9 months, you know, Felicia and I started dating, fell in love, and I proposed to her. So, you know, at that point, I knew I was going to move to Pittsburgh and not to New York. And so I just stayed at my mom's until Felicia and I could move into a place together in Pittsburgh. But during those 9 months, we got along great. I took her to Pittsburgh to see her family, to see her brother and her nephew. And, you know, we just got along extremely well. I remember one time my mom said to me, the way you're speaking to me right now is intimidating. And, you know, it checked me. I checked myself and I said to her, you know, I apologize. It's the last thing I want to do. I think I was just getting intense about something. But that was one time in 9 months, as opposed to, you know, 9 times we'd be in conflict in 1 month. So that the journey for spiritual and emotional healing for my mom and I, it definitely hasn't been fully linear. You know, we've definitely had issues. And then as she's gotten older, really over the last 2 years, after she turned 90 and she started to have more and more physical issues, and, you know, there's been a lot of struggle getting her to stop driving and now getting her to, you know, to leave her house. And for the third time in the last year, she recently fell and she couldn't get up. You know, she couldn't get out of her bed and she ended up falling and calling 911. And so for the third time in the last year, she had to go to the hospital, emergency room, and then go to rehab. And the rehab experiences have been very, very intense. And each time I've gone up to Cleveland, because I live in Florida now, as you all know. And each time I've gone up there and I've done everything I can to help her. The part of the spiritual and emotional piece for me in terms of my healing is that I always took on that role of, like, kind of taking on everybody's emotions when I was a kid and trying to solve everything and save everybody. And that's been a repetitive pattern in my life. So I had to be very conscious, and I have to be very conscious of not doing that. And yet also I have a skill set that's extremely helpful for the situations that my mother has been in to help her navigate these very, very difficult situations. So I have been, you know, up there with her each time, including this last time. And it's, you know, part of the reason why, It's one of the main reasons why we haven't recorded a podcast in a while is because I took all my equipment up there to Cleveland with me, but we just haven't been able to find the time because I've been so busy. And I now have a week where I'm able to be home, and we're going to record some episodes for you all. But I just wanted to share this story with you. I think it's a very familiar story to a lot of you. And for me, it's a story that I never thought would ever happen. And my mother didn't either. And sometimes she looks at me like kind of like in amazement, like, is this really you? Like, is this the Marty Friedman that I raised? And as we've started to have more and more conversations about spirituality, as a lot of conversations about emotional healing, that's been going on for a while. But more recently, you know, my mother was really struggling with like reliving past stuff and predicting future negativity and just really steeped in that negativity. And, you know, I read the book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, not too long ago, within the last, well, I guess about 5 or 6 years. And it definitely had an impact on me. And when my mother, you know, said what she was said, and I said, Mom, if I get you a book, will you read it? And she said, yeah. And I said, you know, the book is about how you can live in the now. And to be really honest with you all, I wasn't that hopeful that she would read it and that it would impact her. And I remember telling Dustin, you know, like, you know, I told my mom, you know, tomorrow morning when the bookstore opens, I'm gonna go to Barnes and Noble and get her The Power of Now. And I remember Dustin like texting me later, and he's like, you're buying your mother The Power of Now. Like, can you even imagine the amount of healing that has had to happen for you to be getting the book, The Power of Now for your mother? And I really had to stop and think, because like all that negativity and that living in the past and predicting negative outcomes in the future is something I struggle with every day. One of the gifts of this spiritual and emotional healing process that I'm going through with my mother is that I've been able to see my reflection in her and her reflection in me. And I've been able to, you know, I remember her saying one time, like, nothing ever works out right. Everything works out wrong. And I was like, when I heard her say it, two things happened. One, I was like, well, I know that's not true. But the other thing is, oh my gosh, I've lived most of my life believing the same thing. And so I got her the book and she started reading it. She's more than halfway done now. She's home, so I don't know if she'll read it as much at home. It really helped her in this last stay in rehab a lot to read it. But we've been talking about it, and she has really been absorbing it. And recently, the other day, she told me that this idea of being like connected to infinity, or the fact that we're all energy, and that we're energy before we're born and we're energy after we die. You know, as we would say, as I learned, you know, in Soul Focus Group, that we're infinite beings having a human experience. And she said that that's really resonating with her now. And then she told me, she said she doesn't think that if she had read this book 5 years ago or 10 years ago that she would have liked it. But there's something that's happening for her right now that's connecting with her. And I know she talked to my sister about it, you know, and my brother's staying with her right now. So I'm sure she's probably talked to him about it. But it's very heartening to me. It's very special to me that her and I are able to share on this level. Because even like a month ago, I wouldn't have thought we were going to share on this level. Like, we're getting along extremely well. She's so appreciative of everything I'm helping her with. And she's been very supportive of me and what, you know, and everything going on in my life. And, but I didn't think that we would get to this place of healing on a spiritual level and to be able to share on that spiritual side. You know, I've always thought, oh, I'll keep, you know, the spirituality piece is, I'm very much connected to my current family with Felicia and Maya. And the spirituality piece is extremely connected to the work I do with Dustin and my D and everybody at Soul Focus Group. But this is something that will be separate from my family. And, you know, the fact that it's not separate, the fact that it's so connected is a spiritual healing moment for me. And it's allowing me to see that there's possibilities that I had just ruled out. And that's really what I'm holding right now on both the emotional level and the spiritual level, that there are possibilities that we don't see for ourselves in terms of healing with members of our family that we never thought we could. So I just wanted to share this story with you all because, you know, it's important for me to share these journeys, the journey that I'm on, the journey that we're all on.
When you come to the Soul Focus Group, you come to an acknowledgement that there has been injury done to us from all these different forms of oppression. Injuries that have impacted our subconscious mind, our heart, our spirit, our very soul. So at the Soul Focus Group, we recognize that and we focus on healing. Healing, the return or the recovery of our connections to our healthy self, our beautiful thinking mind. We want you to come join us in a movement of healing all around the world to restore us back to our rightful state. At the Soul Focus Group, we heal.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. I share this with you all because I love each and every one of you, and I love that you're on this journey with us. I love that I'm on this journey. And again, I never really thought I could see myself evolving the way that I have. Still have a long way to go. And there are days when I feel like I haven't evolved at all. There's days I feel like I haven't moved forward in life. And then these kind of moments happen. And, you know, this, what's happening with my mom and I. And in turn, you know, my sister and I have a better relationship we ever have. My brother and I, we're still working on it, but I think we're getting to a better place. You know, this is all because of what I've learned as part of Soul Focus Group, what I've learned coaching with my D, what I've learned in my fellow traveling with Dustin and with Hank and with all of the people that you've heard, you know, Bonnie and Stephanie and Martina and Cindy, you know, the learning just goes, it goes on and on. And this is what we do at Soul Focus Group. We ask that you please check out soulfocusedgroup.com. Be a part of what we're doing. Help us grow. Help us reach as many people as possible. We have so many exciting new adventures that are happening. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with us. And I will ask you, as we always do, and I'll remind you that I'll be seeing you next week. Back with my co-hosts, but I will ask you, as I always do, as we always do, to please stay safe, stay well, and most of all, stay soul focused.